This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, boys. Special thanks to Landon Jones. Best of luck to him. Green Bay creator, runs his own ad agency called Respect here in town, which is just fantastic. And he's up for something big, doing a commercial for Doritos, which could possibly air during the Super Bowl, which would be absolutely amazing.
Yes, for the listeners that are, this is really an interesting and a fun thing to get into as a resident of Green Bay. This kid went to school at East and went into medical school, didn't really work out for him, and just found his passion being in advertising and promotion. He put this ad together that has gone from thousands of applicants down to 25. And what is that website again? To YouTube? What's it called? Dorito Bold?
I'll have it up.
Okay. It'll be attached to us, but take a look at that and let me know if you think this guy's got a chance on winning. But it's down to 25, and if they air in the Super Bowl, picks up $1 million.
All right, time right now for our Burkle's One Block Over Green Bay Packer throwback segment. The Green Bay Packers, of course, this week in Philadelphia. And who better to talk to than somebody who's pretty much born and raised in the Philadelphia area. I'm sure grew up as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Played for his hometown team, and then, of course, spent some time in Green Bay in what I still say was one of the most fun seasons in all the years I've covered the Packers, which is 40 years. One of the most fun seasons ever was 1989, and this guy was one of the great guys in the locker room you'll ever have, Mr. John Spagnuolo. John, good morning.
Good morning, John. Nice to be with you this morning. And that was a fun team we had in 1989. We thought we were in the playoffs till we got knocked out by Minnesota on a Monday night game, and but that was the magic man, Don Majkowski and Sterling Sharp, and we had a lot of really entertaining come from behind games that year, and it was just a great locker room and a great community. I really enjoyed my year in Green Bay. And quick correction, I did grow up an Eagles fan, but they stunk so badly that I picked up the Packers in the mid-60s. So that was my team.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God, yeah. How could you not root for the Packers and Vince Lombardi? Chuck Mercine, are you kidding me? I mean, that was the best. That was the vintage time of NFL football.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to say one thing, though. You and I, okay, so I was born in 1957.
You're young like me.
Yes, exactly. But I was looking at some stuff. There's one major difference. So I played high school football in 1974, and you played high school in 1974. And I was looking at your reunion of your undefeated Bethlehem Catholic team, and you had like two guys that played in the NFL for like 10 years. We had one guy that went to Mesabi Junior College, so we were pretty much equal. Boy, did you guys look stacked in high school.
I'll tell you what, we had two guys, Mike Gooman, who played for Penn State and blocked for Eric Dickerson with the Rams for 9 years, and I, and that's it for 50 years. I mean, we were basically a year apart in grade school, Notre Dame grade school, and then Bethlehem Catholic College, and then he went to a navy blue and white school called Penn State. I went to a navy blue and white school called Yale, and that's where our paths diverged, but we competed in Little League, football, basketball. It was really something. And it's never happened since. I mean, it's been a half a century. We haven't had to put anybody else in the pros. It's
that's
crazy.
By the way, my partner here, Jim, mayor of Green Bay for 16 years, and something very in common here. This is like an Ivy League moment. You went to Yale, and he went to Harvard Business School.
Not nearly as smart as you. I went there for a summer. Anyway.
But he's got, John. But enough for him to have the Harvard coffee mug all over.
Which John broke.
I like that. Well, I'll tell you a quick story here. My brother went to Harvard. He's my only sibling. And we played against one another in 1976. He was a center. And I was we didn't actually line up against one another, but we beat Harvard that day. I was a sophomore. He was a senior. And I was awarded something at an Ivy dinner a couple years ago. And I said, you know, I was a tight end. He was a center. I said, we were the Kelce brothers before the Kelce brothers were born.
There you
You're
go.
Right. You think you would have figured that out at Yale. So, But, I mean, those two schools, they do have a rivalry with pranking each other. But,
You know what, John? If I ever do retire, and I'm not kidding about this, I'm going to, like, rent an RV or something. I'm going to take one autumn traveling around the country, going to college football games. The first one I want to go to is a game at Army. And the second one would be like Yale or Harvard, or I'd love to go to Ivy League. I'd love to be there on a Saturday morning and the pageantry. There's something special about college football. I mean, Green Bay, we've got, you know, people say, oh, it kind of reminds you of a college town with the tailgating and everything. But there's a certain something on a Saturday morning in the fall at a college football game, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. But don't worry about buying tickets in advance at the Yale Bowl. They seat 70,000 people, and there's about 10, except for the Harvard game. They get about 10 or 15, and there's more people outside at the tailgate than inside. Or maybe they're all in the library.
That's it. I got my card. You can't get into the Harvard library without being a student.
Right,
so I got that.
Right,
I got that going for me. Hey, where's your allegiance now in the NFL?
It's with the Eagles. I mean, I'm a hometown fan.
Right,
and everything,
I would think so.
But I follow the sport. I just love following the evolution of offense and defensive philosophies over the years. I mean, I really do, just to see especially what they're doing in the pass game and stuff. I mean, to know that, everything kind of when I played, different meals, pretty autocratic. Everything was top down, But when you know that Mahomes and Kelce kind of go into a room together and they riff with one another and they come up with plays and then they run by Andy Reid and say, hey, can we do this? And he says, yeah, I like that. I mean, it's just really neat to see just how the game has progressed over the years. And I latch on to the Eagles, but I'm always interested in just watching games just to see how things sort of develop, and it's really been fun. The evolution of the game's been incredible.
Some of that Yale coming out of them.
That's a Yale boy.
Hey, John, that's great that you look at it from. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. And you're right, the game has changed. Salaries are still the same.
Hey, I was a Plan B free agent. When I came to Green Bay, so I got a $75,000 signing bonus. That's nothing to sneeze at.
It's hard to believe, though, John. I mean, we're going back to our generation pretty much, and Larry McCarron telling me, I think 73 was his first year, and he made like 25 or 30,000, and he had to be a substitute teacher in the off season in Chicago to pay the rent.
Chuck Bednarik was a Hall of Fame two-way player, right? 1960 championship, the last championship game that Lombardi ever lost.
Yep.
And they called him Concrete Charlie, not because he was a vicious hitter, it's because he worked at a concrete factory in the offseason.
Right,
I mean, that's just the way it had to be.
Absolutely. And I joke about, like, when I used to do all my post-game shows, and you remember the Lindy Infante show, or I did one with Lynn Dickey and different guys over the years, and now, so I filled in on Channel 5 here about a week or so ago before the Packers Monday night game, and they gave me what they would give a player. And it was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And I said, we used to give a free oil change, and you know what? Not one guy turned it down. <back in there.
laughs> we go back for alumni events, every team does it differently. So the Eagles do something, and they give you a jersey, and you wear it, and you stuff. And I remember seeing the old timers; they would come back in afterwards and say, "Do we have to return the jersey?" And they say, "No, you can keep it." And they go, "Wow, really?"
Yeah, it was a whole different world back then. But
yeah,
John, you stayed involved with football for a few years after you got out, right, with the Players Association, and you did some sports casting, right?
That's right. Yeah, I did. I was involved with the union until I retired, and that was sort of, we went to court and sued and, got the free agency thing in the early 90s. And then I worked for ABC for about 8 years, and I did a college football. I got as far as the third team. I was behind, Keith Jackson and Bob Greasy, and then Musburger and Vermeil. And then I worked with Mark Jones for a couple of years.
Oh,
so
sure.
I did a lot of really, really great games, Madison and I actually, through my football life professionally in college and then just other stuff, I've been to all 50 states. So it's kind of, you wouldn't get to Mississippi and Arkansas and places like that, unless you did college football. You know what I mean?
I think that's absolutely awesome. Well, John, I just have to ask you, you know, what we got coming up here. How do you see this one? The Packers are coming in kind of walking wounded and licking their wounds after a ball game the other day. That was pretty disappointing. But how do you see this?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a homer and all that stuff. But I, you know, the Eagles rested. They rested Barkley. I mean, everybody said, you know, what do you think? And I remember our 12-4 season when we went to the Super Bowl back in 1981. And that bye week is so important for resting. So even though the Eagles didn't get a bye week, they got a week off for their starters. And you just feel so much better. You know, you heal, you rest, you can get treatments, you can lift and work out better than you would otherwise. And you get a little refreshed. You know, I look at Kansas City, my God, they're going to have like 20 days off, 24
yeah,
days off.
Right.
They
yeah.
go back to play. But I think, you know, the Packers are, this is a classic wild card weekend where you kind of come limping in, you barely make the playoffs. You have had a great year. You know, but people are banged up and maybe they play, maybe they don't. And then, you know, you're going to be in a hostile environment. So it's generally, it doesn't favor, you know, the visiting team that much. And I think the Eagles are healthy. I don't think Green Bay is. And I think that's the difference maker. They had a great year and it's a great team and it's on the ascent. So, you know, we got to watch out for the Packers, but I don't see it happening.
I just want to say one thing, you know, one of the key things, and this happened when the Packers won the Super Bowl back in like 2010, So, and then they just got hot and peaked at the right time. I just feel like this Packer team peaked about 3 weeks ago.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too, just momentum and confidence and everything else. So that's kind of, you know, I think Hurts is a question mark. I don't know. I think this thing's a little overdone with the concussion protocol. I mean, I'm all for it and everything, but it never looked like he got hit that badly.
Right.
And then it seems like, you know, they're playing games a little bit with, you know, holding him out until Wednesday and they don't have to release anything until the practice. But I think he'll be ready to go. If he doesn't play, it's a different story. I mean, then Barkley, you know, the running game gets compressed with Barkley. I mean, the thing that Hurts does is he keeps pressure on the perimeter, you know. So you're looking at that handoff, you're reading the linebacker or defensive end or whatever. He can't crash down on Barkley. Because, you know, the quarterback can pull it out and run. But if you take that threat away, Barkley's a different runner. It's a different scheme.
All right.
Then, you know, then it's a different, you know, then the rushing running game and the play action passing isn't as problematic as it is, you know, when Hurts is running the show.
All right, you can win the game, but don't throw snowballs at Santa.
Well, you guys said it, Craig Johnson.
Hey, come on. We had a good thing. A.J. Brown got the game ball.
Right.
He gave it to, I mean, we know we can do some nice things in the fans once in a while.
All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Right? Keep
Love
saying
Eagles.
That, John. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to set our 1 minute break. Can you stay with us, John?
Sure, yeah.
John Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer, Philadelphia Eagle, joining us. We'll be back right in 1 minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Try 1 month on us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Very, very, very special guest, John Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer tight end and Philadelphia Eagles. John, one of the things I like to do when I get former players on is little thumbnail sketches where I throw out a name and what pops into your mind. Do you mind doing that with me real quick?
All right, let's give it a whirl. Could be a lot of blanks at this point, but I'll try.
Well, I'm going to start out with one you mentioned already, Don Majkowski.
Oh, Magic Man. What are you looking for, one word or just...
Just whatever comes into your mind.
Loved him. He was, you know what? I thought he was the next Joe Montana. I really did. You know, the way he played that season, he was so unflappable, under pressure. You know, didn't have a strong gun of an arm, but he had a good pocket feel, good presence, really understood the offense. His just a shame when I know, you know, he hurt his shoulder and, you know, he and Lindy had maybe a little falling out, this and that, whatever. So, but I really felt like that guy was just scratching the surface on an incredible NFL career. It didn't work out the way I thought
that
it would.
Shoulder injury really handicapped him for a long time. It always did, right till today.
He still carries that swagger with him, though.
We've had him on our show a couple times. He's been in the studio here.
Just a great guy, and I'm with you on that. I just a talented guy with a tremendous – I don't know if it's really confidence as much as it is swagger. He just was very confident.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we had like four games we were down. You know, we were down in the last 4 minutes or so, and I think we came back to win like four of them. I mean, it was just – did his thing, you know. Right. He was Joe Cool.
Absolutely,
he was just a good guy too. You know, it was great.
Sterling
Sharp.
Yeah.
He was fun. I mean, this is a guy. He bought into that system. I mean, the Lindy system was like, you know, throwing on rhythm, you know, and timing, and you know, you didn't really like work a guy and make a move on him. You just got to an area and the brakes were fast and he was a combination of speed and strength. Unlike any, you know, most receivers I don't see. AJ Brown's a little bit like him. He just sort of, you know, for the Eagles, if you try to bump him, he's going to hit you upside the head, as they say, you know, and get right around you, or he's going to, you know, use his footwork and get around you as well. He's got both. He was tough receiver. I'm happy to see him getting a look. I don't know how that's worked out in the Hall of Fame. I know he had a short career, but he was the top receiver in the game when he played.
Okay, an opponent that you would have to go up against when it's like, okay, we're running this play and I got to block this guy, Lawrence Taylor.
LT was a son of a gun, I'll tell you what, to go against. The one thing I felt like I had, I wouldn't say an advantage, he liked open space, you know, so he'd like to come off that edge and beat a tackle or a pulling guard or a running back to the quarterback. When you got somebody on him, I realized, although he could like get low and run me over if he wanted to, he chose not to do that. He chose to dance around you a little bit. So I actually struggled blocking Carl Banks, more than LT, because Carl was really physical on the other side of that incredible defense that they had back in 86.
Hey, Carl Banks was kind of a scary guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, his first year, he didn't know where the hell he was going, but after that, he did.
And I say that because he was from Flint, Michigan, okay? Played at Michigan State, and I worked in Flint doing TV, and I remember being at a high school basketball game, Flint Beecher against Flint Powers, and Flint Beecher had a phenomenal player named Roy Marble who played in the NBA, and Powers had a guy that played tight end at Michigan State, and near the end of the game, the guy for Powers just clobbered Roy Marble, and there was going to be like a riot, okay? People were coming out of the stands. Carl Banks was home on break for Michigan State. Carl Banks walked to midcourt and pointed to people, "Get the hell back!" And every person melted back into the stands, and I'm not joking about that. He had that presence, didn't he, John?
Yeah, he did. He did. I was, you know, he was stout and tough. And very hard to move, and he was great against the pass and the run. You know, that was a great defense. What can I say? I think next to the Chicago Bears, 85 is the best defense I played against.
Okay, then did you play with Vince Papale?
I did not. We overlapped. His last year was my first year. He was on injured reserve at that time. But I know Vince real well, and he's a terrific guy.
They made a movie about him with Matt Damon, played the part, which Matt Damon, who's about 5'8", playing the part of a guy about 6'4".
It was called Invincible. It was a great movie.
Oh, no, not Matt Damon. It was, who's the other guy?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, yes.
Yeah.
But that was a great story. He'd never played football, really, and went to an open tryout and made the Eagles as a special teams guy for a lot of years.
It was. He went to St. Joe's. They didn't have a football team, but he ran track. And then Dick Vermeil took over the team in 1976 and basically had an open tryout. And like 200 people showed up and, tried to run 40s, and some guys couldn't even make it 40 yards without getting gassed, you know. And Vince, I think Vince was like one of maybe 3 to 5 people that they said, you know, come to camp and we'll give you a shout and then or a shot. And then he made it on special teams and, you know, played a little bit of wide receiver, but he was a hustler, and the whole city rallied behind him. And, you know, it was a great story. It really was. And I then spoke at my daughter's school. I asked him shortly after the movie came out. He was getting $25,000 a pop. And he actually came to my daughter's school, like, you know, two weeks after for free, you know, to motivate right. the kids. And I remember a mother came to me whose daughter had no interest in any sport whatsoever and said, this guy made such an impact on my daughter, you know, because he basically said, everybody said, you can't play pro football. You can't play football if you didn't play college football. He said, and he screamed at the top of his lungs in the church. I'll never forget it. He said, don't let anybody ever tell you what you can't do in life.
It's awesome.
And he said, because that's all I ever heard growing up. And it was powerful, and it was really something. And that's sort of the message of the movie, too.
Beautiful.
Just quickly on coaching, Dick Vermeil.
He's a father to me, right? And he's a father. He's a father to hundreds of people.
Right.
He really just, you know, he didn't want me on the Eagles because I didn't go through his camp. I was drafted by New England and cut, and then they prevailed upon him that I'd be an upgrade in the backup position, but he didn't want me on his team, and he made it really clear to me. He said, I don't want you here, and I'm going to run you out first.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad you made it. All right.
Yeah, I am, too. It worked out. He's the best.
All right, John Spagnuolo, I hope you still have fond memories of Green Bay, my friend.
Absolutely.
And as we say, have a good game, not a great game.
Okay. Hey, guys, I really enjoyed being with you. Happy New Year. Good luck to everybody.
John, can't thank you enough. Thank you so very much, my friend.
My
John
pleasure.
Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer and Philadelphia Eagle, just one of the classiest guys you'll ever meet in the world of sports or business or whatever. No lie. We're going to start our break. When we come back, Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series, phenomenal brother combo. The Labonte brothers will be joining us for some live music back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks to John Spagnuolo. Man, he was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, something else. I'm just a great person.
Classy guy.
Right.
Brings it all.
Well, and did you notice
Nikki just
show?
Said so, good, her mic's still
but
off.
Did you notice that every we threw four names at him, he said nice things about all four?
Absolutely.
And I just think he's just a class guy.
He is. Right now, what's he pointing at my camera? Oh, I'm closer. All right. Right now
he's coming
get
in
your
to adjust.
Melon out of the way.
Did my face look too fat in that? Is that what you're saying there? Oh, he's getting those guys
go
out.
Toward okay. Jim and John. Toward Jim and John.
I think he wants.
Okay. No, right. I want you guys. Right. That's there.
Okay,
you go.
Because they'll be on the other one. Yep. Okay. Hey, it's time for the Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series with, of course, Ashley from Heights Pub and Parlor. How are you, Ashley?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
I still love your basketball. Don't you love those earrings that she wears, the basketball hoop earrings?
All glammed
we got basketball
up.
Tonight. So, yeah. Anyways, happy Friday, everyone.
Woohoo!
Come stop in for fish tonight and indulge in our perch plate that comes with home fries, yellow onion, and asparagus. Or treat yourself for yourself to your choice of our beer battered walleye or with julienne potato fries or pan fried walleye with balsamic Brussels sprouts and roasted red potatoes.
Is there anything better than pan fried walleye?
Ooh.
Labonte Brothers, is there anything better?
I don't think so.
I
don't think so either.
So
I love
tasty.
A good. Oh my God.
Good fish
fries.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good
yep.
smiles.
Yeah.
Yep.
What good about life. For the Packer game Sunday?
Well, we are actually going to be closed.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to be. I know you normally are on Sunday.
We have
so I didn't
our
know.
Holiday party on Sunday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's it.
But they're not a sponsor, and I don't know if they're a big competitor, but that you were playing Philly, right? The Philly cheesesteak place on Main Street.
Yeah.
That's a great, that's like, they have customer service like you do. It's just
awesome.
A great, and I. I like going there. Wait. They don't know that I have a radio show, but
don't you love it when you're paying to advertise and he brings up a competitor?
It's not a competitor. Isn't that fun? I don't see that as a competitor. Yeah. I think
you wouldn't, Jim, because you're.
Anyway,
the mayor of Milwaukee a great mayor?
He was great.
And now he's an ambassador, and I'm stuck next to you.
Ashley, tell us about the mayor of O'Connell Falls.
Yeah, there you go.
How much you love him.
So, Ashley, I'm having lunch at your place at 2 o'clock today.
Okay.
And it's your hours. I mean, some people think it's like the dinner hours or...
But no. I know for lunch.
Yeah, no, we are open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Right.
And actually, 11 to 10, Monday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, we're open till 11. So 11 to 11. So yeah, come in for lunch.
Anytime.
Yes.
That's what I think is
outstanding.
Cool. Yeah, I love your food and your customer service, as I tell you every time, is second to none.
Well, if it wasn't for the Heights Pub and Parlor, we wouldn't be having the pleasure of these two gentlemen. Nikki, jump in right here. Filling in today for these guys.
Green Bay's own. How about it? Welcome to the studio, guys.
Where's your Whammy Award?
Thank you for having us.
Right. Yeah, do you introduce yourself?
But you know what?
They don't
like, if you said, I got two guys here from Tennessee, nobody would say, oh, no. You guys got that.
They might.
You got that Tennessee look to yourself. You got that country look.
It's definitely that a Schwabenon look, I think. Oh, yeah. More so.
Well, the green and gold.
The
definitely.
Green and gold, yeah. I got to support it. Yeah. We are diehard Packer fans, first and foremost. My name is Derek, and this is?
My name is Brett.
And we're the Levante Brothers.
Derek and Brett, welcome. So Mino fell in love with you at Channel 5 recently and said, you have to come in studio.
I think the roles should be reversed. We fell in love with him.
Oh, God.
The energy you bring, the smile, the laughs. Okay, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's a quick way to get kicked off.
Right.
Stop that. I asked you guys, and I know everybody probably asked this, so I was going to that dumb guy that had to ask, are you related to Terry and Bobby Labonte?
Yep. We did not get confirmation.
But you might be, right?
But we might be. I mean, we were always told from a younger age, like, there's a chance. So, if you look at Bobby or Terry, they look just like my grandpa.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. I mean, like, to an extent, would you say? Or am I just blowing smoke?
I think you're blowing smoke.
Can I see what you want to see? Hang on to that. Don't do any more research.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Hang on to it.
My research includes just asking around.
There you go.
And just taking somebody's word for it. So I guess.
And keep asking until somebody agrees with you. That's my strategy.
I think it works, though.
Yeah.
All right. So you're new on the scene.
Yeah, relatively. I would say us playing together. So we've been playing. I mean, since. Do I get closer?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Thanks, Ash.
We've been playing together since the basements of our house. I mean, just jamming.
So
with
as
each other.
Kids.
Yeah, essentially.
Really?
We worked ourselves up from the basement to the living room to the garage.
Wow.
To
when your parents were home? Did you ever get that good?
Well, that's where we started. We had to make sure they weren't home.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Did you ever get good enough where they would stick around to listen to you?
Yeah.
All right, so
funny
made
story.
It.
My graduation party was the first time, high school graduation party, was the first time I ever played in front of people.
For real?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I played, and then I remember looking at my dad, and my dad looks at me and he goes, so that's what you've been working on.
Right.
Right. So I was like, nice. Yeah, so all the times we were downstairs jamming and stuff, he'd open the door and be like, quiet.
Yeah.
We were playing that loud for that long.
Well, sure.
And then I was learning from YouTube. He learned from, he had a class in middle school that he took, and we just decided, you know what? We should do this together.
How about jamming out? Do you write your music?
I've been writing my own stuff and dabbling. So I've been doing that the past year. If you want to check out my TikTok,
yeah,
it's
only
going to
be.
Jim and I are
going to
check out the TikTok.
The TikTok.
On the interwebs.
I think you have to check out TikTok today because the Supreme Court's getting that and they're going to shut that down.
Yeah, so
you
got
to go to Lemonade.
Yeah.
Are you on Lemonade?
I'm not sure what that is.
That's
me
TikTok.
Neither.
Okay, John.
Oh my
are
God!
You impressed? I have zero idea.
Are you impressed? I read this morning.
Yeah,
I am impressed.
The TikTok.
United States. Yeah, right.
But the United States government doesn't want TikTok because it's owned by what's the name of that parent company? Anyway, it starts with a B. And so then TikTok thinks they're going to lose. That's at the Supreme Court, but they're like, if we're going to lose, we're going to direct people. So it's called Lemonade, and you can download it for free. Right, Todd?
Oh, there we go.
I guess.
So
I
did.
So I see you're the research person here.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I just talked for a minute of something I know nothing about. Yeah. So
we could not tell.
So Annie confirmed this.
And social media?
Yeah.
I am not your real
this
host.
This is weird.
So how, TikTok or Lemon, how do we get a hold of you?
We have a Facebook page, Labonte Brothers. I'm not sure. I'm sure that's not going away.
There's some people that want
you can find us there. That's us. So we've been playing together for the past 2 years now.
Great.
Been doing shows together.
Just about.
Yeah, fun. And that's been absolutely amazing. I mean, the stuff that we get to do together, playing these places, creating memories, making people smile, have a good time. That's what it's all about. Music brings people together, and that's what
but
we feel
you,
really lucky to
do. And when you're writing from the heart.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So if you go to my TikTok or my Instagram or wherever.
Any of the socials.
Me, yeah, I guess I post a lot of my music on there, my solo stuff. Yeah, a lot of those songs are very heartfelt. I wrote a song. I just had a child named Ledger.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I wrote him a song on there.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so definitely some songs that that just speak about me and in my life and our life. Yeah, I know Brett's dabbling too and writing his own stuff, so we're definitely working on that part. But we play a lot of covers at our shows and a lot of country music, a lot of music that's hopefully going to get you up and dance, smile, grab the person next to you and give them a big old hug.
Nice.
And dance. That's the way we grew up playing.
Tried that once. Yeah. Charges still pending.
Yeah. Called a restraining order.
All right, let's hear you guys.
All right, so we do have a few songs here that we had an idea of. We decided, in honor of Friday, we'll play an Eric Church song, Drink in My Hand. So this one goes out to anybody going to Fox Harbor tonight.
The Heights.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Poor Ashley. Brian's going to be like, that's it.
That's she bought it from him.
All right, here we go.
Free set at the Heights.
Early morning till Friday at 5, man, I work, Lord, I don't climb.
Boss man can shove that overtime up his can. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand
and fill it up, I'll throw it down. Got a 40-hour week, we're the trouble to drown. No need to complicate it, I'm a simple man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. Yeah, the parking lot is muddy, can't get to the door. I'll take my jacked up dropper down in 4x4.
Chill down the long neck, warm up the band. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand
and fill it up, I'll throw it down. I'm about to tear a new one in this old town. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm a rocket man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
Make me wanna go ooh. When you dance like that, you got that little tattoo playing peekaboo on your back.
Yeah, if you wanna impress me, baby, here's my plan. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand and fill it up, I'll throw it down. When you drop me off, take the long way around. You be my little Lois Lane, I'll be your Superman. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
My head, Monday morning, that alarm clock says.
Everybody go now.
Goes bang, 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 while it rings.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll if you wanna rock again. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand and fill it up, I'll throw it down. Got a little hungover, still hanging around. Yeah, that hair of the dog is howling, hey there, man. All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand. That hair of the dog is howling, hey there, man.
All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
That was great.
Phenomenal.
That
was great. Awesome.
Yeah. So I have to say this. The best thing about the entire morning is that I was sitting here listening to them play and sing, and I was watching Jim, and he was singing along.
People must just shout right back. All I got
to
do.
What
is,
did
right?
I whisper to you, Jim, during the middle of their song?
I wasn't listening.
I don't know if you listen to Eric Church, but he sounds exactly like Eric Church.
Yeah.
I thought he whispered Nugani's national anthem.
Okay. Jim, wow.
Anyway, so you guys, that was original.
No. That's Eric Church.
Okay. I don't follow a lot of music. See, I'm giving you a lot of credit. Tell me who inspired you, though. I want to hear. Was it
like locally and stuff?
Locally, I mean, the main influence that we both had was our great uncle Roy. He is hence passed, but growing up, going to family events and stuff like that, he would come out, just kind of whip out his guitar and play classics anywhere from Hank Sr. to Merle Haggard, and just all them, and just play for everybody at family reunions or just get-togethers and stuff like that. And just from there, just always had that hankering to kind of try that out.
Perform when the family reunions got together? Okay, boys, get up there, sing a song for everybody.
Well, we started like building up with him. So we'd go to his basement sometimes as well, and he would just teach us a G chord, C chord a lot, and like how to really find a rhythm. So being kids, like watching, we'd sit cross-legged and just be mesmerized by what he's doing. I mean, he was everything. I mean, it was amazing. And like, it was a big influence, like what Brett said, a huge influence on both. We wanted to be just like him. We wanted to play camp parties, deer camp, you know, that was our big show, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of family over to play deer camp.
We wanted to go to deer camp.
So that was like the big deal, because he would come down and play for 3-4 hours and we would just sit there, you know, everybody's smiling, having a few drinks, just having a great time. That's what we wanted to do.
How proud would he be of you guys right now?
I think he would be a little floored that we're on the radio right now. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And then he'd do some research and say, well, that's not that hard.
No,
yeah.
I hope you had a chance to tell him that.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, that was very from the heart what you just said about him, both you guys. And I just, we need to tell people that, because he.
And usually it's a teacher, but to be an uncle is awesome.
Family, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything that, like I said, when we go and play and stuff, it's all, we wear our emotions on our sleeves, our heart on our sleeves. We play music because we saw it from him, and the joy and the smiles and the laughter. I mean, music can bring people together.
Absolutely.
More than, random people singing the same song. Right. So, and just connecting. So that's what it's all about.
The Labonte Brothers, they are awesome. Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series. Real quick break, back with more right after this. And this is a great song too. Everyday People, Sly, 1971. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a good-looking Friday morning. A little slippery out there. You guys said you saw some cars slipping and sliding coming in, huh?
Yeah, especially the roundabout. Okay, the roundabout going over the bridge into Pier.
Yeah.
That roundabout gets
slick.
Super busy.
So slick. Yeah, unbelievable.
So be careful, please.
Because you got to, dart in when you do have an opening. You got to, gun it.
Yeah.
Oh, easy, Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
Hey,
Labonte,
wow.
Yeah.
Ashley
over here.
It's a yield sign. You don't have to stop.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Also fast. Mm-hmm. Also fast.
Nikki, you were asking them during the break.
Well, okay, so as you're writing, right, I was tooling through some of your socials, and one of the things that you have written about is, and again, you hit on a lot of really cool things about the togetherness of music, that it brings people together, family time, super important. You wrote a song about your dad. You've lost your dad, and I'm so sorry. But incredibly meaningful song. Tell us about what that does for you in that process to write about it. And now to perform.
It's honestly, it's pretty liberating, because writing gives you a sense. And I've always written my entire life. I've always had notebooks and just write and journal. I've been journaling actually to my son from the time I found out my wife was pregnant, just writing little daily stuff to him now being 2 months old. But that
you
really inspired
me. Such fantastic family chromosomes here.
Yeah,
you're family people.
Yeah, because for us, family is a big deal. I mean, losing our father too, and being able to write that song is about our deer camp and our favorite place in the world, and just how nothing actually in the court. Nothing's changed. We're just missing you is pretty much the only thing that's changed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually stopped playing music for a while. I know I did when we found out. My father passed. And I'm going to be turning 33 January 16th. So if anyone wants to send me a gift,
there
nice.
You go. Right.
But I'm going to be turning 33, and he passed away in 2015, almost 10 years ago. And I stopped playing for a while because that was kind of a big thing, too. He'd always be standing in the corner up at camp being like, play that one song, play it, you know.
There was never that one song.
Yeah, it was never that one. We never knew what song he wanted.
And yeah, no matter what song we played, it'd always be, that wasn't it. No,
yeah,
it was that one that went like.
As once you get through the entire song.
It's the one that goes like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, let's just play this one.
Okay, but here's what I want you to know. He's always in your corner. And he is still requesting that song.
He is. And one of our favorite song to play is his favorite song. It's actually Chicken Fried.
Yeah,
so he actually got he had a tattoo of that "Let Freedom Ring" on his arm. But
wow.
That's
so
cool.
When we got together and started playing again, I mean I know that's what inspired me. It's like I know that's what he would probably want. So when we got back together and actually started getting back into it, had to knock off some of the rust and thank goodness. I want to shout out LaVie Tavern for their open mics and all that. And just the people there are amazing to bring local musicians together. So that really helped as well, and that's what really. I mean, now it's just a snowball effect.
And how are we doing in Northeast Wisconsin here with venues?
I think there's venues popping up everywhere.
There are.
You know?
Crazy amount.
Yeah. And I think it could be a
correlation. People need to get out and support those because those are... Okay, go ahead. I want to hear what you think.
But we want to hear this song.
We got it. Okay.
We're running short on time here. Can you please play this song? I want to hear it.
All right. So they do have a couple of upcoming gigs, right? Correct. January 17th up in Marinette at Campgrounds.
At, Crossroads.
Crossroads.
So Crossroads, Pub and Grub.
A late birthday present.
We'll be playing 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Next Friday. And I do have a solo show on January 22nd. It's a Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And where's that?
LaVie Tavern.
Downtown DePere, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Right. Tell us what you're going to play right now. And take us out into the weekend, please.
Yeah. We'll play a Tyler Chiller song if you guys are cool with that.
Absolutely.
It's Feathered Indians.
Well, my buckle makes impressions on the inside of her thigh. There are little feathered Indians where we tussled through the night. If I'd known she was religious, then I wouldn't have came stoned to the house of such an angel, too messed up to get back home. Looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked, ain't anybody told you that them things are bad for you? I said, many folks have warned me, there have been several people try, but up till now there ain't been nothing that I couldn't leave behind. And hold me close, my dear, sing your whispering songs softly in my ear, and I will sing along. Honey, tell me how your love runs true, and how I can always count on you. Be there when the bullets fly. I'd run across the river just to hold you tonight. Well, my heart is sweating bullets from the circles it has raced, like a little feathered Indian calling out the clouds for rain. And I go running through the thicket, I go careless through the thorns, just to hold her for a minute, though it lead me one more. And hold me close, my dear, and sing your whispering songs softly in my ear, and I will sing along. Honey, tell me how your love runs true, and how I can always count on you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.